Let me just tell you something about Carrie. I've known Carrie for now 8 years. She is one of the greatest hostesses on the planet, okay? She's like, there's water back there, here's a music stand, you got good to go. Thank you, Carrie. Thanks. I like being a guest preacher, because when you're a guest preacher, 9 times out of 10, the pastor that invites you in says, talk about whatever you want. Right? Go ahead, it's your thing. So I have prepared a sermon on what I want to talk about. But I believe that pastors have always had too much power. So we're going to try something different. I believe in a democracy. We're going to take a vote. I can preach this sermon right here, or we can do something else. I want to preach on love. By a show of hands, is there anyone here who thinks they don't need to hear that and they've got love all figured out? Cool, we'll move forward. Okay, we'll go with this then. I want to preach on love, but more importantly, I want to preach on what love looks like. What does love look like when we actually choose to get our hands dirty? Because even though we've got this great book, we really don't have a job description. What is our job description as Christians? And I think it's an important question because we have to constantly ask ourselves, what are we called to do? And I got to be honest, I don't think we're called to save anybody. But I think we are called to love everybody. When we started this new idea for this church called After Hours Denver in July, we realized we're going to work a lot with the homeless. And part of that meant we had to really be clear on what it means for us to make a difference in the world. You hear people throw that around quite a bit. People go, oh, they're those people, those folks are making a difference. Oh boy, those people over there, they're making a difference. But what does that mean? What does it mean to actually make a difference in the world? Because I think we have to be careful we don't confuse ourselves with other groups that are making a difference in the world. For example, the call of government agencies and the call of nonprofits, those are huge things. And we've seen when government agencies and nonprofits and the church all work together and are aligned, magic can happen. But faith communities aren't governments and they're not nonprofits. So we have to be clear on what exactly is it that is the job description, basically, of the body of Christ. What is our job description? Now, to be clear, is getting people off the street important? Absolutely, it's important. But I will tell you, and many of you know this, as United Methodists, we have got enough money in the institution to get every single person we will serve today at noon in Civic Center Park, we could give them an apartment by the end of the day, like that. But sadly, without love, the vast majority of them would be back on the street within the year. Because a roof is exactly like the sandwich that we hand out every day. It's a tool. It's a tool that we use to show God's love and to show our love to people. I had a conversation with a friend of mine that I've known for a number of years, and when we decided to start After Hours Denver, he goes, you know we're friends. He goes, but I really have to ask you the question. Are you changing lives? He said, I don't care how many sandwiches you serve. He said, are you changing lives? And I realized that he still didn't get it. Because he thought it was about the sandwich. He thought that's why we were going down there. And I said, it's not the sandwich that we give. It's God's love that we give along with the sandwich that changes people's lives. We are changing people's lives. We are just choosing to do it from the inside out rather than the other way around. Every time we're down in Civic Center Park, we hand out lunches and we hand out water and we hand out socks and we hand out communion. And I don't even know if we'd still be going down there if we weren't handing out communion every time we're down there. Because communion says something to the people we serve.
We don't get confused on the difference between needs and wants. There's no question what the folks need. What the folks need is food. They need a clean pair of socks, but what they want is no different than what you're out there. They're just to feel well. That is the key, is to feel love. And the danger, talk about yourself for 30 seconds. We'll be right back. Right. See what I mean? See how good she is? What's amazing to me is of being loved. And the danger is we have to be careful that we don't fall into the same trap here that the folks in Civic Center Park fall. And the trap is this, that we mistake the wants for the needs. When we come to a church, we have amazing stuff. We have this stunning sanctuary and stained glass and sound people that will help you in your moments of need.
We'll see if the mic works. And it does. Thanks be to God. So you've got these stained glasses. These are great. You got great choir. You got wonderful pastors. And that's awesome. But that's just the stuff of church. That is not the core of church. The core of church is if when you come here, you feel love. You feel God's love, and you feel each other's love. Because we have to remember what we are called to do. God never said, come and sing and pray and tell me I'm great once a week. That's not in the gospel. What's in the gospel are the words that we heard today, which is love one another as I have loved you. And that, to me, is the beauty of coming together on Sunday morning. This is an opportunity for you to love each other. If you come here on Sunday and you don't feel the love of God or each other, then you're doing this wrong. We have to start loving each other. And in very tangible ways, both inside the stained glass as well as outside the stained glass. When we started doing After Hours Denver, we started meeting at a bar on Monday nights on Colfax. And I will tell you something. That, my friends, is a Scooby-Doo moment. That made a number of people go, "Arr?" First, we had to convince them that God could be around on a Monday. They didn't buy that. Like, I do God on Sunday. Monday, I've got people to fire. Okay, I've got other things happening that day. Once we convinced them of that, then we had the added hurdle of talking them into doing church in a bar. And for a lot of folks, that is a real rub, and that is completely understandable. But what we did when we are up against it is we go back to our reference point. And our reference point is the same as yours. Our reference point is Jesus. And so we looked at Jesus and said, okay, how did Jesus operate? And we recognize as we combed through the scriptures that Jesus was always where the people were. Jesus never said, if you need me, I'll be in the temple. Jesus was always out with the people. And in case you haven't noticed, the people are in bars. And so we started doing our worship service Monday nights in a bar. And it was packed. Standing room. Carrie was there, actually, for the first one. Carrie's been through a number of them. It was amazing to watch. And what we recognized was that people are starving for God's love. They just struggle with our delivery system. And so we decided then we are going to change up the delivery system a little bit. And when we look at this Bible passage today, we realize it is not just the job of Highlands UMC. It is not just the job of After Hours Denver. It's everybody's job to go out into the world and love each other. The good news is we only have one question to answer. One. If we do this right, everything else falls into place. All we have to do as Christians is ask ourselves, is what I'm about to do or say or think going to bring more love or less love into this world? And you don't have to go to Belize. You don't have to go to Rwanda. You don't have to go anywhere. But right where you are in a moment's time to live that out. If you go to Safeway or King Soopers and you get your cart full of stuff, and there's one guy behind you with one carton of milk like this. Oh, jeez. I'm going to miss the game. And you go, you know what? Why don't you just go in front of me? Is that all you got? It's just that? Go ahead. If you do that, are you putting more love or less love out into the world? This is the interactive portion of our sermon. Nicely done. Okay. If you decide after today you're going to go out and grab something to eat, let's go out and grab brunch and get a bite to eat, and you decide you're going to tip the server one more dollar than you normally would. One more. Not based on percentage, just because. Are you putting more love or less love into the world? Well done. We're 2 for 2. Last question. It's I-25. It's rush hour. A nervous laughter runs through the congregation. And someone decides they want to merge in front of you. It's bumper to bumper. And you choose to let them do that. Are you putting more love or less love in the world? Actually, it's a lot more. It was a trick question. It's rush hour. So see, that's the way that worked. But regardless, it can be the small things that we do that can help us to live out the gospel. Now, I'll give you some background here. Everybody thinks when you go to seminary, they teach you all about the Bible. What they really teach you is to find really good Bible software. That's what they teach you, which I went ahead and purchased. Now, I'll be honest, I knew the scripture I wanted to use today, but I could not remember where it was. I'm thinking, okay, I think it's in John, but or is it in 1 John? I don't know where. So I decided to do a search and typed in these words. Love each other. Search. It's everywhere in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament and the New. It's in the Psalms, and it's in the Proverbs. It's in the Epistles, and it's in the Gospels, and it's on Jesus' own lips. Love one another as I've loved you. Because we all know that we've got a good book. I think we got a great book. But the truth is we actually have 66 books written over thousands of years by hundreds of authors. And even though this is a great book, this book has been used to hurt people in very real ways. Because it is a book written by so many people over so long a period, you can find a Bible verse to support just about anything you want to support, including slavery and killing babies. It's in that book. I'm not interested in the 2, 3, 4, or 7 verses. I'm interested in the ones that are constantly showing up. I'm interested in umbrella themes of the book. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think there's a bigger umbrella theme than love each other. Which begs the question then for all of us, how are we doing? How are we doing? And so we are called to go out into the world and to change the world and find the world's greatest needs. We have the job and the obligation to love each other, both in this room on Sundays and outside the room every other day of the week. Now, I'm going to tell you just about a few people, and then I'm going to let you go. The dirty little secret of going out into the world is that we think we are helping those people. Fill in the blank. Whoever those people are. But the truth of the gospel is when we do that, it changes us too. Whitney Bradford is a student at University of Denver. Last year was her first year at DU. And she wanted to come down to the park and help out, hand out the food and things. And when she first came up to us, she was like, "I'll come down, but I ain't doing it for any of your God stuff, okay? So get that out of your head right now. I'm not going to do that. Don't shove your God down my throat, okay?" Whitney was small, but she had good hand speed, it looked like, so I'm going to mess with her, you know. So I said, "Okay." I said, can I ask you then why you're doing it? And she said, "Because it's the right thing to do." She says, "People are hungry, you feed hungry people." She says, "It's just the right thing to do." Okay. So when she started, we put her on water. We come down with two cases of water, and we have somebody do lunches, somebody do water, somebody do communion, somebody do socks. And she started handing out the water. And I mean, she was a machine, but she would just do it like this. Just handing out the water, doing her thing. But after a while, after a couple weeks, you could see that she was starting to try to be a little more friendly. She started going like this. We're making headway. Now this is good. After a couple more weeks, maybe a month passes, she starts handing out water and she's going, "Here you go." Is it Josh? It's Josh, right? "Hey Josh, good to see you." "And it's James?" "Okay." "And it's Minnie, right?" "Hey Minnie." Something's happening here. Now, fast forward about a month, and I'm doing communion, and they're going down the row here, and I look over, and there's no Whitney. She's not even there. And we look over, and Whitney's sitting on the grass, talking to somebody. Just sitting there listening to them. In the churchy world, we call that a ministry of presence. She's just listening to them. And one of the other college students was like, "Do you want me to go get Whitney?" I'm like, "Da-da-da-da-da-da." "Don't get Whitney. We're fine. We got the water covered." Fast forward 6 months. Whitney says, "I've been thinking about the thing that you do. And I think I want to do the next step." Like, okay. Wow. What's that? She goes, I think I want to do the water thing. It's like, now in my head, my first thought was, "You're already doing the water thing. You know, I mean, you're doing the water thing. That's the other thing." Most of you are much smarter than I am, and you realize, no, Whitney was asking to be baptized. She had never been baptized. And so we got together with Ryan Kennedy and Paul Kotke over at University Park, and we baptized Whitney. And her parents flew in from California for it. And her grandmother flew in from Lubbock, Texas for it. And when it was all done, in the back, her dad says to me, he said, "I can't thank you enough for taking care of our daughter first year away at college." He said, "When she reschedules her flights, so that she doesn't miss going to the park to feed homeless people on Friday," says, "you must be doing something special." That's Whitney calling right now, as a matter of fact. She's always a little tense whenever I tell her story. I will tell you about a couple more people real quick. There's a person down there, not like Whitney at all. His name is Undertaker. And Undertaker's about 6'2". He wears a long black leather duster. On the back of it, I'm not kidding, it says Big Evil across the back of it. Black cowboy hat, leather studded boots. And when Undertaker started coming down, he would take the water, nothing else, and wouldn't even stop. Wouldn't even stop. He'd grab water and go like this. Keep walking. Bad dude. We weren't going to tell him not to. After a while, he started grabbing a water, and then he would give us that cool guy head nod. I don't know if you guys know this one where he goes like this. "Hey." Because we want to be cool. We did it back. "Hey, how are you?" Now Undertaker helps us unload the cars and helps us with the food. And takes pictures of us. He'll take pictures with us. I heard him laugh about a month ago. First time I've heard him laugh in 3 years. There's a woman there that goes down. Her name is Julene. We think Julene and Undertaker are an item. We're not sure, but we think so. And Julene comes down to the park, and every time she will take communion and she will take lunch and she will take socks. But she always makes sure that the first thing she does is takes communion. And the second thing she does is she gives everybody a hug. And she gives that kind of hug where she doesn't want to let go. You know that hug? She hugs like a grandma. If you know the grandma hug, that's the hug that she does. And we realize something with all these people, with Julene and Undertaker and all the rest, that there's something that a man named Henry Nouwen once said. Henry Nouwen was a professor at Harvard, and he resigned from that job so he could serve a community of mentally disabled people. He said this: "We need someone to share our pain, to touch our wounds. Julene needs us to share her pain much more than she needs a pair of white athletic socks." I was lucky enough to go to the U2 concert when it was here in town, and there's a song, I got one person back going,
where you might have.